You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Bob Hoy, market historian and chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Always good to be with you and with our listening audience out there. Yeah.
We'll take a look at a listener question from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. Market Watch headline, Fed's Powell says stocks are fairly highly valued. Bob, I'm confused. I understand that stocks can be fairly valued or highly valued, but how can they be fairly highly valued? Bob, is this an example of Fed speak? If so, can you please translate?
Good eye. Good eye, Michael. Yeah, that, I think, well, you can say highly valued, but that's too risky for the central banker to state. So he said, he modified it with fairly highly valued. That's what I think. And it's fooling around with words. But I think the Fed was correct in saying that. But when the party is on in the stock market, it's a thing all unto itself. And the central banker, of course, they always think that each recession is going to turn into a depression, so they have to prevent recessions. And this was the theme behind the original start of the Federal Reserve System, and the powers that be then fully understood that a credit crisis prompted a recession. So then they said, oh, if there's no credit crisis, then there won't be a recession. So this then was the concept of the lender of last resort, namely the Federal Reserve System. And so according to this theory, there would be no more recessions. But the Fed law was passed in December 1913. You could say they opened their doors for mischief in January 1914. And there's been 18 cyclical recessions since. And there's also been a great financial bubble, and its natural consequence is a Great Depression. So the fools in central banking just don't get it. And there are further details on that we can go into at another time.
Well, central banks, again, you said the idea was to prevent recessions. They haven't done it. Why are they still around?
Oh, because people really believe in them. They believe that there's a savior there. And they're going to prevent. Now, get this. You can have in the financial markets a very hard hit to the stock market. And typically, they happen in the fall. So anyways, get this. The belief of the street is that with the Fed, nothing can go wrong. Crash. And then the Fed immediately states that without the Fed acting, the crash would have been worse or acted longer. So here they are. They said a crash could be prevented, and then they say that only us can cure a crash. It is so bogus, you can't believe it.
Well, central banks, first of all, the Bank of Canada, is that owned by the Canadian people, or is that a consortium of the biggest banks chaired by a government appointee?
I got to look into that. I looked into it years ago, but I kind of forgotten it. But somehow I think maybe the major banks in Canada own a piece of it or something. But they in the United States, it was called the Federal Reserve System because sometime before 1914, when it was brought into being, they had, the U.S. had a central bank, and it was such a disaster that that's why they came up with the name Federal Reserve System. They couldn't use the term central bank because the people had had such a bad experience with it. So it's a matter of belief over substance, and it continues, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. It's sort of a religion. Yeah, that's use that term, Jim. It's a religion.
So the bank's thoughts and prayers are with us.
Yeah, but if you're a head up of a big bank, and in the old days, before the Federal Reserve or the Bank of Canada, there was a built-in caution. And Canadian banks had a hell of a good start in 1818, I guess, and of course, Canada was a dominion of Great Britain, and with a lot of experience. So, it was a sound currency, and the intentions were to keep it sound, like it was convertible into gold. And then came the mania in to have a central bank, and we have in the Bank of Canada, and in the U.S. they didn't want to call it a bank, so they called it the BS Federal Reserve System. So it's all bogus nonsense.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from Zero Hedge. Rothschild family exploring sale of their stake in The Economist magazine.
Oh, yeah. The Economist magazine, I think it started around 1848 in there. And, of course, my research, historical research, was grabbing headlines from then The Economist. Mm. And it was a very sound publication for a long time until the Keynesian Economist got in there, and then it's just published garbage ever since. So, yeah, and, but that, you know, now also there was another part of the question that we should cover.
And that is?
Treasury Secretary Beeson unveils $20 billion bazooka to try and stem Argentina's financial crisis. And then, Michael asked, Bob, I'm overwhelmed. How many bazookas will the U.S. government and the Fed need to get us out of the next financial crisis? And, oh, here's a good one. And will it be safe to invest in financial bazookas? Oh, yeah. Got to have a financial bazooka. But thanks for your question.
Yes, Argentina always seems to be in a financial crisis.
Really don't like the U.S. dollar, and they're fooling around with imagining this BRICS alternative currency. And people don't really understand that in a post-bubble world, the senior currency, and my favorite way to phrase it is, becomes chronically firm. And you'll have the embarrassment of the Federal Reserve unable to depreciate its own currency. So I think that what makes the senior currency firm in a major Great Depression is that during the bubble, most of the debt floated on the mania is due and payable with dollars into New York City. In the 1800s, it was pound sterling due and payable into London when it was the financial center. So this then has everybody, miscreant countries and private investors, scrambling to sell something to get their hands on a U.S. dollar to meet their financial obligations in New York. So first of all, the pattern is there and repeated. And then when I came up with the explanation for it, I kind of like it. So we're looking for eventually a firming U.S. dollar. Now, recently, it has been bombed and technically oversold on Ross's charts. And it's held for a few weeks here. And if it holds for, let's say, another 4 weeks, I think then it'll help build a platform for when for the next longer rise. And it's a fascinating game to watch the senior currency.
Now, there's noises about the Chinese renminbi or yuan replacing the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. Is it anywhere close to that?
No, that's a joke. Absolute joke. One, China is still communist. It's still headed by an authoritarian government in Peking. And the global markets decide the financial center. 2,000 years ago, you could say it was Rome. And then Rome fell apart by 3rd, 4th century. And eventually, it was very prosperous city-states such as Florence. And that's where their gold coin was called the florin. And that was a standard for a long time. And so that's... And then the financial center in the late 1300s shifted, of all places, to a community in Austria, and they discovered an immense deposit of silver, Augsburg. So anyways, they had fabulously rich deposits of silver here. And there's even an apocryphal story of a well-to-do merchant riding up and over a mountain pass. And he stops at a pleasant place to have a little lunch. And he tethers the reins of his horse to just a bush that's sort of there. And the horse tosses his head, pulls the bush, the shrub, and the moss up on it. It was sitting on galena. Now, galena is the mineral. It's one of the minerals of silver. And it was, you could say it was a mountain of silver. So anyways, Augsburg just was referred to as the Thaler. And then Thaler meant valley. And then that's eventually how the dollar got its name, from Thaler. So some of this history is kind of fun to review.
So the lesson is tie your horse to a flimsy post and you'll discover something valuable.
Yeah, on top of a big vein of galena. Oh, would I love to do that, yeah.
Now, we were talking about bricks briefly, they propose what they call the unit, a cryptocurrency that would be 40% backed by gold. Now, there is trading in that brick money, which they call the unit.
Okay.
But it's very thinly traded, and the value goes up and down wildly every day. Yeah. Right now, it's worth $27.66 U.S., but that's a $10 change from just a day or so ago. So it's not very stable.
No, it's an interesting development, and it's worth watching now that you've drawn it to my attention. So, yeah.
Would you buy a brick unit or a bunch of them?
No. You'd want to buy the gold and put it in your safety deposit box.
You buy the gold, not somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Another headline here from Zero Hedge. Futures jump to record highs again after Fed restarts rate cuts.
Yeah, this is important. Rate cuts. This is what's driving the market. And I'm writing a serious essay on this one. And it quite simply points out that in a boom, short-dated interest rates such as T-bills go up. And in a bust, they go down. And they really go down. Now, in 1929, the T-bill rate got up to 5% in June, July, and then started heading down. And the Fed made its first cut following the market at the end of that October. So the point being is that the Fed does not control interest rates. It only pretends to. And And the interest rates are set not by 12 experts on the Fed Open Market Committee, but it's set by jillions and jillions of transactions going on around the world. And even people who are not transacting something, it goes into the mix as well. So, the idea that 12 experts can set interest rates is just a fantasy, and that the interest rates are set around the world. So, yeah.
Well, Bob, people expect mortgage rates to go down if the central bank rate goes down, but mortgages aren't set there, are they?
No. Long end does not necessarily follow what's going on in the short end. So T-bills, they've come down enough to look at, but not set the downtrend yet. So we're watching for the downtrend in T-bills to confirm that we're going into a contraction. And then also silver is a very interesting item. Now, the silver bugs all go on. They look at supply demand. And yeah, you can show that every year there's a physical shortage of silver. But they don't see silver as a financial metal. And in a boom, silver goes up relative to gold, which it has been doing. And then in the bust, silver falls relative to gold, which is no trend change yet. So it's an item that we follow, the gold-silver ratio. It's a good one to follow at when you're thinking a major change is hand. And, of course, we'll keep our listeners posted.
From Zero Hedge, U.S. is once again the world's most expensive stock market.
Yeah, that's just a nice big, bold statement on most expensive. That would mean on a relative basis. Now, there's a guy who provides outstanding long-term charts, Ron Grease, and stock charts, and he's got one where you take the S&P, I think he starts at 1915, and he deflates it by the average wage. So it ends up being the number of hours you have, the average person has to work to buy a unit of the S&P. And it's got it since 1915. Of course, you had it zooming up to a pretty good high in 1929. And where it is now is units and units above that. Just absolutely insane. And I think it's a good measure. How many units does the average wage buy in the S&P? And it is horrendously expensive on this measure.
Durable goods orders rebound bigly in August, according to Zero Hedge.
Yeah, I used that one because of the bigly. I thought, what fun to craft a headline with bigly in it. So, yeah.
Does that mean people have faith that they're still going to have jobs and their economy's doing well if
Whatever.
They start buying
durable
goods? Whatever,
there was a burst
goods?
Of something going on.
Well, yeah. According to Breitbart, new home sales in the U.S. unexpectedly have soared 20%.
Yeah, okay, there's another example where suddenly something comes in that's very positive.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, we had some fun today, Jim, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.